Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and we are talking waiver wire pickups and a round 16 review. We are without the Statesman tonight. He's up in Queensland checking out some new property for Chateau de Statesman to get away from those cold Tassie winters. I think he's up there with Ed McGuire as well and just having a bit of a brainstorming powwow on how to improve in all things fantasy football and life, I guess. But welcome to you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing all right, John. It's freezing bloody cold, so I wish I was on this powwow, but no one wants a person who drives a 1999 Camry on a powwow. but pretty happy. Drive July continues, Jono.
Just sipping on your tea while I'm sipping on Furfies.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, it wasn't tough at all at golf yesterday. Really enjoyed my squash afterwards. Mm. Really goes well. I'll see everyone sucking down schooners.
You can cheat away by having a lemon-lime bitters because the bitters actually does have alcohol in them.
Well, I understand that, Jono, and I'm not a cheat. So, but speaking of cheaters, how good is it? The cricket strike continues.
It does continue and looks like it's going to go long throughout the rest of the year, especially with Mitch Stark signing with a Cricket Australia rival car company in Audi. And it's really got their bristles up as Cricket Australia, a proud sponsor of Toyota.
As the unproud owner of a Camry, I wish Audi had sponsored me.
I wish they sponsored the Draft Doctor. I wouldn't mind getting around in a nice Audi.
Buddy oath.
But big weekend footy, Steve. Bit of a few injuries coming out over the weekend. The biggest one of the weekend was Paddy Cripps from Carlton. Got kicked in the back of the knee in the first quarter, and we didn't see him for the rest of the game. So we're going to wait on scans to see how that one goes. Zach Jones went down with a bit of a knee injury in the fourth term, had the knee iced up. He wasn't scoring great anyway, so see what happens there with Zach Jones. And we also had JPK and Jeremy Howe, late withdrawals in both their matches as well. Jeremy with a bit of a calf tightness, so a bit of precaution there. And JPK as well, so not good there. But Clayton Oliver seemed to be getting a bit friendly with the fans over the boundary line today, Steve.
Yeah, well, look, what happens is sometimes you're out on the field, you're jonesing for a bit of food, you see someone with some hot chips, and you go over and see if you can get them, and it looked like the Carlton fan didn't want to share.
Well, maybe if Clay went to a Melbourne supporter, mind you, they're all probably sitting in the MCC members or at the snow, so no one's sitting in the nosebleed section out there.
Well, can you really share caviar and toast points, Jono?
It would be very hard, very hard. But they do have better donuts in the MCC section. I've been there once, and it was like heaven, heaven. Full-strength beer as well, in a glass, not plastic, in a glass.
Well, they keep people like me out of there, Jono.
Yeah, I had to bribe my way in. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out at The Draft Doctors or at Statesman33 on Twitter. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got Steve's A Dozen Deal, Stakes and Skippers, and my late week pickups dropping there each week. And check us out on Facebook. Just search The Draft Doctors there. But we are talking waiver wire pickups. And when we do, we use Ultimate Footy 65% ownership rule. That way, if you're playing in shallower leagues, deeper leagues, it gives everyone a fairer opportunity. But Steve, kick us off with the waivers this week.
Yeah, absolutely, Jono, and if people read the Dozen Deals article last week, they would have been alerted to the top two on the list, and that is James Sicily and Aaron Mullett from North Melbourne. So Sicily of the Hawks, listed as a forward, only owning 40% of teams, playing in defence for the Hawks, who seem to want to play a spare man or two in defence since the bye, but he's scoring pretty nicely since he's shifted into his new role. We know he's got a great set of hands. Defender Aaron Mullett. With Jamie McMillan going out of their side, it's really opened things up for Mullett. Also, Marley Williams has missed as well. But without Jamie McMillan, one of their better ball users off halfback, Mullett's got back into the scoring. Gave you a nice ton in both formats this week. Only 35% of leagues. And I certainly think he's worth a high waiver priority pick. Another defender, I've got Jake Lever, coming in just at the 65% ownership threshold. I think he's good in keepers, but I certainly think he's fantastic for redraft as well, especially in your super coach formats where he now takes a lot of the intercept marks. How about this for a forward, Jono? Last three games, he scored 133, 93, and 108 Dream Team points per in those matchups. Who do you think I'm talking about?
I got no idea.
We should, because this is the second time we recorded the show, so I screwed up the recording.
You're not supposed to let the people know, Steve. Come on.
How many of those furfies have you had?
We're on five or six.
Well, I'll give you a break then. But it's Johnny Patton, only owned in 59% of leagues, and he is starting to come of age and show what made him such a high draft pick.
I should have known that, because he was in our late week pickup article this week.
There you go. Even you were on him. A couple of midfielders, Jono, who are often hard to get this time of year, we know.
They certainly are.
So we got Sam Kerridge coming in at 46% ownership, tons in his last two. Looks like he'll continue that role for the next sort of 3 weeks whilst Ed Curno misses with his larynx.
Larynx.
Is that how you say it?
Larynx
injury.
And a pretty favourable fantasy draw as well in the next 4 weeks with the Doggies, the Lions, the Cats and the Bombers.
Well, I don't think they're going to tag him. Dogs don't tag anyone, but I don't think they're going to tag the tagger.
Sam Kerridge was certainly going to score well.
Yeah, and we know the Blues play a very fantasy-friendly style, a lot of chipping around, and they make some skillers, so there's some tackles as well. Also, lastly, you may want to waiver for him, you may not, but Anthony Miles, only earning 28% of teams, midfielder for Richmond. Got to come in. After that poor display, Dion Prestia is getting a bit of heat in the media, Jono.
It's about right, too, because our old mate Costa has been on the show, has been saying it at the pub when we go down every Wednesday at the RSL, that if Richmond were losing, then the heat should be turned up on Prestia because he's had a bit of a stinker of a year.
Yeah, absolutely. And also a defender. I don't think I'd waiver for this guy, but defender Adam Sard, only earning 26% of leagues, playing Collingwood this week. We know that's generally pretty gravy for defenders. And just lastly, I'll mention if you're in a keeper league or in ultimate footy where there's position changes, I seriously think Liam Duggan is going to get defensive status to go along with his midfielder status. He's lowly owned. I've picked him up myself in our keeper league, Jono, and I certainly think he's maybe worth a stash, maybe bench coverage. We know he put out a nice score today, so Liam Duggan.
Now, some quality picks there. I had Sicily, Mullet, and Kerridge myself. But my first one, that if you're looking for a defender, I've got Tendai Mazungu from the GWS. He's got defensive midfield status in Ultimate Footy, only owned by 18% of the leagues, but he's a mid only in Supercoach, and the score suggests that he's actually probably better for your dream team scoring anyway, getting his nice 80s there. My next one is Jordan Murdoch, who we've spoken about before on the show from the Cats, owned by 42% of teams, scoring you quite nicely as a forward. So if you're looking for that F5 or a bit of bench cover, certainly look to pick up Jordan. One who might be a bit stiff in not getting the rising star this week, Steve, is Charlie Curno, only owned by 25% of teams. He's playing the Dogs this week, who have been giving up fantasy points left, right, and center. So look out for Charlie Curno, but maybe even just hold off because he did get battered and bruised a bit this week against the Demons, so he might get the old general and have a week off. But one I'm certainly liking, he's got a great mark and can kick a few goals and getting up the ground. And another one, this on Sunday, Tom Hickey was pulled out of the VFL team. It's been reported that Billy Longer is suffering from leather poisoning from having the game of his life against the Tigers. So they look to bring in Tom Hickey this week, only owned in 57% of teams. If you're someone like me who is looking for a ruckman who has been struggling both the leagues, the Listener League and our League of Records, Steve.
How is the Listener League going? Because I got basically kicked out of it, despite the fact I set the bloody thing up.
Statesman's around about the top. I'm fourth, fifth, or sixth. I did lose this week due to a few outs and poor captain choices, but no, it's pretty tight. It's been a pretty tight year this year.
Well, let's pray one of the listeners takes you where he gets down.
I'm not there to win it. I'm not the statesman. I'm not greedy. I'm all about the listeners and letting them have a go. But I'm trying not to come last.
I didn't mind seeing the big fella lose by only a handful of points in the Keepers League. Had a bit of a chuckle there, Jono.
That's what it's all about. Just putting,
sinking
each other down.
Sinking the boots in.
That's it. But now I'm up against a pretty good team in the Uzbekis this week. He's got a pretty good team and could challenge you in the finals there, Steve, I reckon.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you are liking the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you really like the show, hit the subscribe button so you don't have to worry about downloading the show each week. It just hits your devices straight away. And if you've got a spare few minutes, leave us a review. Hit the 5 stars. We really appreciate it. It helps our brand, and not just our podcast, but all the podcasts you listen to. They really appreciate it when you do hit those 5 stars and leave the review, because it gets us out there. And we really appreciate it, especially Steve, as we are 365, 52 weeks a year.
Yeah, Mrs. Fizz loves the fact that I'm podcasting every single week, all year round, loving our child as well as the podcast. There's a lot of stuff to talk about in the off season. We know a lot of people are playing the Keeper League, so we're here to bring it to you, the listeners.
Keeper Leagues, we've got our You Suck Show.
The You Suck Show. We might have some very exciting news on the You Suck Show.
Yes, we do, but we'll just keep that under our hats for now and reveal it all in good time. But there was some football played this week, Steve. Kicked off on Friday night with the Doggies taking on Adelaide over there. It was a hot game right up until halftime until, I don't know if you know this, Steve, but the Adelaide airport shuts at midnight. So they thought the Doggies would get in early, get the flight home, and not worry about the 4 points because they ain't playing finals this year. But the Crows certainly are. Rory Laird in fine form, back from a couple of quiet ones. The Texan with 3 snags, Josh Jenkins with 4 goals. The Crouch brothers were fantastic. Rory Sloane, again, playing the Doggies who don't tag and got you a pretty handy score in both formats. Kelly and Lever were fantastic, especially Lever taking intercept marks left, right, and center. And Rory Atkins, who I moved to my bench thinking it was a wet game and no outside ball would get to him, but how I was wrong, and he scored pretty well himself. But with the Doggies, Toby McLean probably had his best year fantasy-wise. He had over 30 disposals and taking a lot of centre bounces there, Steve. And you are actually a Toby McLean owner.
Yeah, I grabbed him a few weeks ago and noticed he was getting in the centre clearances and winning a stack of contested ball and had the score involvements to go along with it. Obviously, we play Supercoach and fantastic for that form of the game. And he just seems to have taken the Luke Dalhouse role, if you will. Because Luke Dalhouse out of the centre bounces.
Yeah, I think he had one or even none.
None.
Friday. None. Well, there you go.
And so, even the week before, he only went in there in the last quarter.
Yeah, well, there you go. Just playing that forward, defensive forward, if you want to call it that, like he did when he was rookie listed.
It's hard to rely on these roles, though, with crazy Bevo just throws the keys in the bowl and... whatever role you get.
Even the Bont, we're going to throw you forward. We don't give a stuff. You're just the best midfielder. And Libba, all you can do is play midfield, but we'll put you forward too and see if you can get a goal. Come on, Blue, just put them all in the midfield and do what they're supposed to do. And you win some games.
Maybe.
Maybe. But Jack McRae was good as well. The Bont, as we just spoke about, got you some nice scores. Lockie Hunter gave you a nice Dream Team score. And Matty Suckling, I thought, was pretty good as well. But moving on to the game down in Tassie, where it was the Hawks taking the GWS. And 2 draws in 2 weeks for the GWS, but a lot to like about the Hawks. Tommy Mitch, just absolutely killing it. Returning in spades the value they've got for him, even though they gave about 50 first-round draft picks for the next decade. Big boy McAvoy got you a nice ton in Dream Team, not so much in Supercoach. Sean Burgoyne moved to the guts with the likes of Sicily and Burton playing back there. Just freed him up, a new lease on life for him. Hopefully he goes around again. Sicily, as we spoke about, got you a nice Supercoach ton, but not so much in Dream Team. And Langford and Ruffy also scored you quite nicely as well.
Yeah, and on the GWS side of the ball, Callum Ward continues his rebirth, absolutely dominating. John, a lot of pressure acts and possessions and goals and score involvement. 138 Dream Team, 136 Supercoach, had a great last three games. Josh Kelly continues to find an absolute stack of it. Tackles, got you over the 130 in both. The general pattern, what a monster this man is. They switched him back in the first quarter when the Hawks were just all over them. And he wrestled control back and then went on and kicked five goals and scored a big ton in both formats. And I'd consider picking him up, as I mentioned, in the waivers for a big run in the fantasy finals because they've got a couple of juicy matchups. All the other guys are fine. Dylan Shield, Devin Smith. Matt Kennedy got pretty low time on ground, but it was all in the midfield and he scored pretty nicely. Shane Mumford beaten, I would say, by big boy McAvoy. So lots to like about GWS. And one thing I did notice, Whitfield certainly got some possessions in the back half. I wonder when Zach Williams comes back. I think they missed him a little bit, providing some run and skill off that half back. So they'll be a dangerous team in the finals.
Certainly will be, and that's why they are the premiership favourites. But Saturday afternoon at the MCG, it was traditional rivals in Collingwood taking on Essendon. And fair to say, Steve, that Collingwood were just having a day out, weren't they? As in just having a bit of a kick-to-kick, not actually trying to have a day out and win a game.
Well, I'd say they were having a kick-to-kick, but did they have the ball?
Or hit a target?
Playing kick to kick with your unko mate, it just puts it 40 metres sideways and you're always chasing the bloody thing. That's a good workout right there. Steel side bottom, got you a nice ton in both formats. Jack Crisp played okay, got you around the 90 mark. Wonder if you'll get defensive status next year, Jono.
I would hope so.
It's pretty handy if he did. Well, Hoskin Elliott was okay. Tommy Langdon continues his good return from obviously a long layoff. Jamie Elliott was okay. Certainly the main forward spark for them and probably the main class as well. One thing I noticed, Collingwood, the players are publicly all out there backing Bucks and saying, yeah, we're doing everything I can, but actions speak louder than words, Jono. And one thing you can do, even if you're not getting the ball and doing things well, is tackle. How about these tackle numbers? Taylor Adams, 1. Adam Treloar, 1. Jordan DeGoey, none. Josh Thomas, 1. Levi Greenwood, 1. Also, Levi Greenwood, 1 elbow to Zach Merritt's head.
To be fair, it wasn't really a tackling game. I mean, it was wet and slippery, so why wouldn't you not tackle?
Yeah, look, it was an open game, I will say that, but I think those actions say that this is a team that's got the cue in the rack. Very disappointing if you're a Collingwood fan.
Top three draft picked all the way.
Oh, man, jeez, I was praying for North to win today. And anyway.
Well, them's the breaks, aren't they?
Absolutely. On the Essendon side of the ball, though, Orazio was fantastic. 5 snags. Didn't get you the ton, though, because goals don't matter. Zaharakis really enjoying the players returning. He's gotten a lot more freedom this year. Got you 121 Dream Team, 120 Supercoach. Michael Hurley having an all-Australian type season, just dominating across the back line. 122 Dream Team, 117 Supercoach, 30 touches if you don't mind. Zach Merritt did get shot, killed something, still tunned up.
Thank God for that.
Yep. Joe Danaher continues to have his fantastic season, got you some nice scores. Tommy Bell Chambers, man, he's I'm not a big Tommy Bell Chambers fan, but he's having a year, Jono.
He certainly is, and a lot of the radio stations were liking him to Nick Nat, but I think that's
totally reasonable.
Of course.
Absolutely reasonable.
I've seen Tommy Bell Chambers jump over everyone and kick goals from the pocket and everything, but yeah, of course.
Right. Anyway, you got your 84 Dream Team, 95 Supercoach, and Darcy Parrish got your big Dream Team ton, but a bit less in Supercoach. Just struggles a little bit with the ball use, but I think he'll be a very, very good player in years to come.
Yeah, and moving on to the Twilight game. I don't know about you, Steve, but these Twilight games, sort of like the forgotten game for me. I forget they're on, but I woke up Sunday morning, checked my betting account, and there was some more money than I thought was in there because I forgot I'd put in some money on the Sydney Swans to win by 39.5, so I was pretty happy with that one. But Luke Parker continuing his great form, with especially with JPK out, got you some nice scores there. Dane Rampey got you 110 in both formats in one of his best games. Redhead Gary Rowan started off the game fantastically, kicking you 5 goals for that whole game. Got you a very nice score. I don't know if anyone actually owns him. Well done if you did. Buddy could have kicked you 7, but inaccuracy yet again, kicking 3 goals, 4. Getting to a ton in both formats. And Karen Jack, the bane of my existence at the moment, since coming back from the injuries, putting together some really nice scores, especially getting that forward status in Ultimate Footy. If you did pick him up, so you'd be pretty happy with that one. Isaac Heaney gave you a nice return as well.
It was hard to see Karen Jack being effective 6 weeks ago.
That's true.
He was god-awful.
God-awful, and we thought that he might not even get a game. But the Gold Coast Suns, they tried their best, but not quite good enough. Jared Lyons continuing his great form, getting you 113 Dream Team. Thank you, Statesman. 107 Supercoach. Jared Witts, we've spoken about late pickup Ruckman. This guy certainly would have been very late in the late teens, round 20s. Returned with 110 in both formats. Alex Sexton, someone who we don't really talk about on this show, returned a nice Dream Team ton for you. So did Took Miller, not so much in Supercoach. Jack Martin gave me a nice score. And David Swallow, been putting out some nice numbers the last couple of weeks. Steve, I know you're pretty hot on him for next week, so do you think that's going to affect his where he goes at all?
No, I think David Swallow is an interesting guy for next year's drafts because I know he's having some nice matches now, but he's had a slow season in terms of average, but we know he's coming back from a long layoff. I think a full season under his belt, he should return value on where he's drafted next year, because I think it'll probably be quite low. Be interesting if Gary Ablett isn't at the Gold Coast Suns even more so.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be interesting to see what happens there. But the first Saturday night game was Brisbane taking on the Cats, and Paddy Dangerfield had a son throughout the week, got the baby swag going, got you a big score in 165 Supercoach, 150 Dream Team with 3 goals there. Mitch Duncan as well got you a pretty big score in his 150th with 128 and 144. Mark Blixars with 3 first half goals got you some really big scores as well in both format. Joel Selwood returning from that concussion. It seems that a week off from when he got knocked out has really helped him. We know we're not big on guys with concussion, but Steve, there's a bit of info coming out in regards to concussion and having a week off.
Yeah, our mate Costa relayed the information that from Champion Data that if the player has the week off, they will return basically as they were. But if they don't miss any time, that's when the scores tend to suffer. And I guess that's something we've seen, and maybe we haven't correlated the week off data to the not missing time data, but apparently the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, no, very interesting to know. Lockie Henderson also returned you a very good score there. Ray Stanley got you the Dream Team ton. And Tommy Hawkins and Zach Smith returned you Supercoach tons, but not so much in your Dream Team. But on the Brisbane Lions side, not too much to talk about. It was all about Dane Zorko. Got you about 38 disposals, 12 tackles, 4 goals. Be interesting to see who gets the 3 votes in this game. They're probably going to give it to Danger because they got the win, but certainly a case for Zorko there with 196 Supercoach, 181 Dream Team. Didn't think he'd go to this next level again this year. He had a pretty good year last year as a forward, pure mid this year, just absolutely braining it. Sammy Mays, who we've spoken about on the show, we like him. Got you some good 90 scores, and so did Rocky. Got you some scores in the 90s, and he's building quite nicely for the back end of the year. The next game on Saturday night was Maddie's match. It was the Saints taking on the Tigers, and it was all one-way traffic from the Saints, absolutely braining the Tigers, just who didn't show up at all. Interesting stat, Steve. Half of the St Kilda team got you over 95 Supercoach points. Half.
You'd be happy if you had one.
Absolutely, and there's plenty to talk about. Seb Ross led the way. Big score of 151 Supercoach, 134 Dream Team. Joey Montagna got you some really nice scores. Got you the 126 in Dream Team. Jack Stevens played into a bit of form. He's been down on his output the last few weeks, but returned you some nice scores as well. Nick Riewoldt took about 15 marks. There was a bit of conjecture as to when he broke the marks record because apparently Gary Dempsey had a game missing. But again, 15 marks from Nick Riewoldt. Some nice tons in both formats. Kobe Stevens has been playing some really good football since coming over from the Western Bulldogs. Got you 110 in both. And there's some really good scores from Savage, Membry, Jack Sinclair, Nunes, and Sammy Gilbert.
Well, it wasn't so pleasant on the other side of the ball, Jono. Wasn't sure what I was watching in the first half, where it was 92-10 at halftime or something like that. Quite unbelievable. But just slow, dumb ball movement, a lot of turnovers. Thought I was watching Collingwood. Kane Lambert continues his fantastic form. 20-some touches, 7 tackles, 99 Dream Team, 102 Supercoach. Sean Greig got a stack of the ball. Toby Nankervis played Billy Longer into some ripping form. Got himself mid-70s and an 80 in Supercoach. David Asprey had a game out of absolutely nowhere. Got his 85 Dream Team, 105 Supercoach for all those players. People playing in the 11 Defenders on-field league.
Great POD.
Ripping but the ball, let's be honest, John, the ball is flying at his head every 3 seconds, so he had to get
that's
something.
To be expected.
Yeah. I think picking up Miles is a pretty savvy move with if you need a midfield, with Prestia being deplorable again. Dusty spent a lot of time forward. His scores were down. Koch was down. He was getting some pretty severe attention at points. And Jack Riewoldt had a pretty low score, but not his fault, Jono.
No, it's pretty hard to score well when you're a forward and not getting the ball inside 50.
No.
And Caddy also went full Caddy with some absolutely horrific kicks and decision-making. But that's Caddy for you.
Just throwing that in, I like how you've just taken my segment on Richmond and just got your own personal Caddy hate in there.
I'm jumping on that bandwagon because I've seen a bit of Richmond lately, and yeah, he is horrible.
The listeners demand the Caddy hate.
And we'll be bringing you a bit of Caddy hate each week on this show. But kicking it off on Sunday afternoon, there was all of 55 people at the Etihad Stadium to watch North Melbourne take on the Freo Dockers, where North had two chances really to win it in the last probably half a minute, but blew it both times. And some interesting scores popped up this week.
Yeah, that was a really fun game to watch. Obviously not so fun if you're watching the replay when you're Todd Goldstein, unfortunately for him. This is a bit of a track meet, though, Jono. Benny Brown had a massive game for North. Got his 99 Dream Team, 103, and he looked in ripping. Nick Cunnington had a big second half, got you the ton. Higgins and Goldie were pretty solid all day, really. Higgins in the first half was brilliant as well. They all got you tons there. Aaron Mullett, who we mentioned earlier, he got you the ton. Without Jamie McMillan there, he was certainly using his lethal left foot. And Jack Zabel, he was pretty big, getting a lot of contested ball. 120 Dream Team, 100 Supercoach for Jack Zed. Because he doesn't like using the ball well, Jono.
He certainly doesn't.
But tough as the day is long. Freo, though, the midfield class and dominance. Really enjoyed this open affair. Michael Walters continues his all-Australian type form. 116 Dream Team, 106 Supercoach. 3 goals to go along with his 20 touches and 5 tackles. Nathan Fyfe, huge game. Statesman mentioned that you should be trading for him. I think I mentioned that you should trade for him in the Dozen Deals article. But 114 Dream Team, 139 Supercoach, and good disposal efficiency because there was no pressure. Connor Blakely was back in a big way after his surfing adventure. Scored 135 Dream Team, 129 Supercoach. Ryan Nyquil.
Nice house.
Nice house. I like that. You got your 67 Dream Team, 78 Super Coach, but four snags, including the match winner. What a ripping debut. I look forward to
him. No upscale. Four goals, doesn't matter. And the winner.
I look forward to seeing him get the Rising Star nomination and Carlton fans saying how Charlie Kurnow was hard done by again.
Yeah, especially when they've had half that team getting the Rising Star nomination this year.
To be fair, Charlie Kurnow probably could have had it about seven times now.
That is true.
But anyway, Steve Hill got tagged again and scoring was down. Brad Hill got your 90s. Lockie Neal, I think he got your Dream Team time and not so much in Supercoach. So, yeah, pretty good performance by Freo on the road, and they'll enjoy that win on the plane ride home.
They certainly will, and moving over to the MCG for the middle game, it's quite an entertaining game, really, between Carlton and Melbourne. Carlton sapping all fantasy scores out of the Demons, which they tend to have done this year, Carlton. Only three tons, and two of those went to Clayton Oliver. He got you the 106 Dream Team, 116 Supercoach, after trying to pinch a few chips over the boundary line there. And the other one was Tommy Mack. Just a lazy four goals and just an even ton in Supercoach, but not too much to write about home there, especially Maxi Gawn. Not attending a lot of centre bounces and contests as well around the ground. So played a bit in defence, and the other big guys of Cam Pedersen and Tommy Mack taking the ruck work there. But
what did you think about Hogan's return?
He competed quite well. I mean, you miss 8 weeks, you ain't going to be starring, you wouldn't think, but I thought he competed pretty well, ran the game out quite well, and looking to build for the back end of the season.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time on the ball as well.
He did too. So had a pretty open goal chance and absolutely sprayed it, but hey, that's Jesse for you.
That's everyone, apparently, in the AFL these days.
That's true, but Carlton, absolutely on fire in terms of fantasy scoring, Steve.
Yeah, and it's the usual suspects again. Matty Cruiser, All-Australian form, 118 Dream Team, 103 Supercoach. Mark Murphy, big tons, 130-plus in both. Doherty, 152 in Dream Team, 142 in Supercoach. Basically playing pure midfield, if you don't mind. Bryce Gibbs continues his good form, 117 Dream Team, 99 Supercoach. Paddy Cripps got his leg. Someone tried to kick his leg in half, Tong Po style, I think, Jono. But somehow Paddy Cripps managed to survive. Charlie Kurnow is the absolute truth, 112 Dream Team, 118 Supercoach. Maybe he'll go without winning a Rising Star nomination and get dicked out of the award or something.
That's quite a possibility. You never know.
Sam Petrevsky-Seaton, he has got his nomination, and he is just one of the absolute Rising Stars of the competition. 89 Dream Team, 102 Supercoach. Really enjoyed watching him play. Cade Simpson continues to get it done, around 120 in both formats. And Sam Carriage in the midfield loves it. 111 Dream Team and 90 Supercoach in the very fantasy-friendly Carlton ball control system.
Yeah, Carriage would have been loving that, especially since he didn't have to tag anyone this week.
Yeah, no, it was good. Good on you, Sam Carriage.
Thanks, Bolts. Just let him play football. But the last game was West Coast taking on Port Adelaide, and it was a battle of the big men. Yeah, Dixon at one end snagging five, and Jack Darling snagging four up the other end, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a game of streaks. Obviously, Port kicked away. West Coast got in front, and Port, and then blah, blah, blah. That it was Port who put it together in the last quarter and got the W, and it was the big man, as you mentioned, Jono. Charlie Dixon with five snags, absolutely fantastic. Got you the 89 Dream Team, 115 Supercoach. But for mine, the player of the game was Paddy Ryder. He was fantastic, 135 Dream Team, 129 Supercoach, 17 touches, 39 hits, and two goals. He is also in that All-Australian Ruckman conversation. And one of your boys, Jono, the Hoff.
The Hoff. Some great form lately.
Absolutely. Got you the 106 Supercoach, 136. 106 Dream Team, sorry, 136 Supercoach. Got a couple goals and very good. Ollie Wine's good again. Brad Ebert thought it was the first half of the year, not the second half. Although a bit of a revenge swag for Brad Ebert.
That's true. Forgot he used to play for the Eagles.
Long time ago. Many half seasons ago. Got you the 126 Dream Team, 115 Supercoach. Dan Houston, interesting option coming off half back. You know,
playing that plus one loose man, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, Jasper Pittard's had his struggles this year, and Hamish Hartlett's probably not a big possession getter. So, yeah, good game for him, and he might be someone you look to pick up off the waiver wire. Certainly available in a lot of leagues. Robbie Gray was an absolute star when it mattered, and he got 110 Supercoach. Not so good in Dream Team of 76. But on the other side of the ball, lean day for fantasy scoring, Jono. The highest Dream Team score, 86 for the Eagles.
Wow, not even a 90.
Not even a 90. Two players got 91 in Supercoach, though, so... Whoosh.
Wow. And that's, tons was, wow.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like we had a question. Someone asked us about captaining Prudis or Cade Simpson, and I just can't stream against or captain players against Port Adelaide.
No, they're like Carlton. They just sap the fantasy scores right out of your team, and you can't. Hopefully you answered Cade Simpson as the captain option.
Well, I did, and you know, for that very reason, I've traded out a couple of St Kilda players this week, Jono, just because their first matchup in the finals is against Port Adelaide. It terrifies the crap out of me.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a Joel Selwood owner as well, I know you've got a couple of hard matches up with the tag in Carlton and Collingwood in the fantasy finals as well.
Yeah, so if you're playing the finals, you've got to matchups matter.
Certainly do.
So it was a lean matchup. Lacroix and Darling did both kick four goals, so it was a nice return for Lacroix. And in his match, Yeo and Gaff battled, I guess. Lysette played his first game. He was okay. Had pretty low game time, only had 55% game time. So to get you 58 and 63, that's really a pretty handy return, I think you'd say.
Absolutely, especially if he's going to build in this back half of the season. He's going to pump out some nice scores for you, you'd think.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if I was a Scott Lysette owner, I'd be quite bullish about his prospects going forward. He did cop a knock in the first half, first quarter, but obviously played out the match. The midfield brigade, Mitchell, Pritis, Shuey, all pretty meh. Sheed was invisible. Shannon Hearn basically did nothing. But I think it's just part of it is just a symptom of playing Port Adelaide. They just suck the fantasy scores out of you.
They certainly do. And I believe you did a bit of a bit of wheeling and dealing late Friday afternoon before the lockout, Steve, to get a trade done.
Yeah, I got a couple of trades done. Got in our league of record, if people are interested. I know people like discussing trades. Our home league is a super coach league, Jono. For the listeners out there, I'm sitting second on the ladder, but we got a tight battle for those second and third spots. You don't really want to play finish fourth because the team on top is it's pretty handy. It's the Dangerfield team. So I traded out Tom McDonald for a couple of guys who weren't playing this week in Zach Williams and Dom Tyson with a team who needs a win. So I thought I got a pretty handy deal there. But getting the extra midfielder I can use freed me up to, like I mentioned, trade out Jack Stephen out of my midfield and Nick Riewoldt. So I traded Nick Stephen. Jesus. Is he in jail?
I think he got out on bail. I don't know.
So I traded...
burritos later.
Jack, hey, Australia says no, all right? Australia says no, listeners. Right. It's not even funny. Stop beating women, people.
Oh, I thought he did something else, but no. Australia says no.
Bloody
I thought it was something else.
I'm pretty sure he did that. Moving on. Traded Jack Stephen and Nick Riewoldt and Tom Langdon for Brett Deledio and Sam Doherty.
So he's back in your team. How many weeks was he out? Just a couple of weeks? You couldn't resist, could you?
Yeah, I dropped him for the last buy round. So I scooped him up and
four weeks. Well, all it was.
the deal was for Doherty, and I said, who are you dropping? And he said, Hugh Greenwood and Brett Deledio. And I thought, oh, there's comedy value in me picking up Brett Deledio. And then I did the trade, and people said he's running and might not be dead anymore. He actually retweeted something.
Running and playing is a different thing. Like, you know, we've seen Stevie J run in a straight line before, but geez, a big difference.
I guess that's true, but I'll imagine having to play Leeds first up in a final.
Could you do it?
I reckon I could.
See, that's the thing. There's a bit of a trend going on this year, Steve. There's first game players that come back from injury, the first game back, absolutely brain it, give you a great score.
Don't play in the second match.
Straight down.
It's a long history of players falling apart in second matches. That's the move.
So that's it. Get you, if you finish, well, you sit in second, get to that prelim final week, you're sweet.
Yeah, just you got to bench him in the grand final.
Well, yeah, that's true.
We actually had a listener question, John. Quickly, I forgot to, in our first recording of this show, I forgot to bring it up, but we've blasted through this so we can answer it. Oh, no, wait. Yeah. What do we put on our homemade hamburgers? What are the must-haves?
Bacon, egg, cheese, and some sort of sauce.
Dave's just gone full greaseball burger.
Yep. That's all I like. Maybe a bit of lettuce and tomato as well if I'm in the mood.
You got to have lettuce and tomato. Well, people don't want tomato, I guess.
Not always, but
I think you need lettuce.
Yeah, it depends what sort of mood I'm in.
I like beetroot. I'm a beetroot fan.
No beetroot. Not in
my house. Mrs. Fizz loves beetroot too.
See, Mrs. Crockett loves the beetroot, but I can't stand it. I just think it's disgusting. It stains everything.
It does stain everything.
I don't even know what it tastes like because I've never tried beetroot.
Mrs. Fizz likes pineapple, but that's kind of horrendous for mine.
That's just like putting pineapple on a pizza. You cannot do that.
Well, I like that, but I've got a recipe for a pork burger, which is actually pretty nice, and the pineapple and pork goes quite well. The sweet and sour mix.
Mind you, I do like my kangaroo burgers. They're quite.
Kangaroo is shocking.
No fat whatsoever.
100%. So what? It tastes like crap.
No.
Is there any fat in a turd? Because that's essentially what you're eating.
Quite possibly, but kangaroo meat tastes better than a turd.
I've had venison burgers. They're pretty nice.
I love me some venison.
Absolutely.
Venison jerky. That's what you got to get your hands on.
Okie dokie. Well, if the listeners want to send in some venison jerky.
Now, I've got one of the guys at work, he's a hunter and gets venison all the time and creates venison jerky or salami and stuff, so quite tasty.
I've never seen a venison in real life. What do they look like?
I have no idea. I just know the meat is fantastic.
Is it like a cheetah?
Venison's deer.
That was the joke. It was a bit of a joke.
Oh, yeah. A few furfies deep. Second recording.
I was drunk.
I was drunk. But Steve, a question for you and the listeners. Trade deadlines, do you have them in your league? And if so, how does it work? We don't have one in our league, but a league record, but there is a cry for one. And if you'd like to let us know how your trade deadline works or when it is, you can do that by tweeting us at the Draft Doctors or at Statesman33. Send us a message on the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au, or send us it via message on Facebook. Just search in the Draft Doctors
That's not quite accurate, Jono, because we do have the deadline if you're out of the finals. No trading.
Well, that's true. But once you get knocked out, you can't trade either. But a trade ban around, 16, 17? Well, everyone's still alive and kicking, hopefully.
I reckon 15. Last three rounds.
I'd like to hear from the listeners and see what they think. We put up a poll on Twitter and see what you guys think. But thank you very much for listening. Good luck in your matchups this week, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.